guys, welcome to the Black Spin Global podcast. I am Lucy.
And I'm Eugene.
And welcome to a brand new episode. Today is the Wimbledon draw episode. And this is our first episode since like French Open. Like, well, like a proper full tennis.
Yeah, I guess. Since the Coco Gauff. Yeah.
Exactly. And a lot of you are new here. So welcome to Black Spin Global family. Welcome to the community. Welcome to the gang. Yeah. Okay. I am Lucy. This is Eugene. We are here to celebrate the Black players in tennis and coaches and journalists and everybody that's Black in tennis.
Just Black figures in the sport. Just exactly.
Black figures in the sport. You know what I mean? Just remember that Black Spin Global was the first. Shout out to Eugene Allen.
Relax. But no, very, very excited.
How are you
for
feeling, Eugene?
Very excited for Wimbledon, Lucy, the championships, SW19. Third Grand Slam of the year. I think it's the one most people look forward to. I'm not being biased.
No, it is.
Like, it's special, Wimbledon. So I'm very excited. What about you? How are you looking forward to this? Also, too, this is our third year being there. So big shout out to us, man. Big shout out to us. How are you feeling?
That's why I'm very happy. I'm so proud of us making it through like our third year, especially that the application this year for podcasters at Wimbledon was slightly different.
It was a bit techie.
So I was nervous as hell. Like I was really nervous. I was like, oh my God, no. But it's BSG in it, like,
and also this is the 50th anniversary of Arthur Ashe winning. Like, it's just so poignant. Like,
exactly,
and we're going to be acknowledging that as well daily. When we're on site.
So for our new listeners, just know that we are going to be on site. You're going to get daily pods after all of the last matches, and we're going to be talking about the matches, the players, press conferences, and so on. So yeah, shout out to us for pushing it through. I don't know if you have a glass, but I've got a glass of my smoothie.
I don't. I've actually got cranberry juice.
Okay, cheers.
Should hire the sponsor because they ain't sponsoring us.
So cheers. But yeah, I am so excited. So excited that I got like tennis. Tennis balls. But yeah, I'm really excited for women. I love just being on site at tournaments. Like,
it's special.
One of my favorite moments. The tennis is always better in person. Being able to go to the press conferences as well. And yeah, being able to give the people updates on the Black players, because, you know, media will wait till they win a title or make it through to talk about them. But us, from the first round to qualifying to everything, we
every day.
The Black players. So yeah. So should we start off with, actually, before we start for the draw, quickly, how have you been enjoying the grass tennis? Because to be honest, this is the first, we've had so much to do behind the scenes.
You've been on site a lot at the various
events.
I've been
on site, I've been editing, I've been working. So it was extremely hard for me to keep up with the matches from the grass tournaments, unless if I was there in person. So how have you been enjoying the
I've not been on site as much this year, mainly because of work, but I've enjoyed kind of seeing, well, when I can anyway, like watching the action. So Queens, I enjoyed watching Queens, both men and women this year. Obviously tournaments abroad as well, so Mallorca, we've had a few players do quite well there. Stellenbosch, where Diallo won in the Netherlands. That was a good week. Bad Homburg right now, as we record this. Paolini's playing in the semi-final. So yeah, I've enjoyed like the fact that a lot of players have gone quite deep in a lot of these warm-up events. Like,
yeah.
What about you?
Yeah, I think for me, it's just been... Oh, sorry. I think for me, it's just been interesting how like... the top players have been losing like the earlier rounds. But to me, I just saw it as an indicator of, obviously I'm not going to go too long about this because we talk about this all the time, but like of the calendar, you know?
Yeah.
And I also do feel like a lot of the players, I'm not going to lie, they're probably like, let me just do this quickly and like rest. Because if you look at the players that pulled out, or like that either pulled out, for example, Queens. so many of the men's pulled out of the tournament. So many of the men's, that like, it was crazy. And when you look at the ones who lost like early, they are the ones who made it to the second week of French Open.
Yeah.
Or like they had like longer matches and so on. But the good thing about it is that it gave opportunities to other players to win some titles. You know, Bublik did really well. He beat Sinner and got a title. So a lot of like people like Tatiana as well, Maria at the HSBC Championship, she was the champion. Amanda made it to the final as well. So, you know, we always say here that we love seeing new winners as well. So it's interesting. It's like it kind of sucks that it's a lot for the top players. But at the same time, it gives the opportunity to the lower ranked players to, you know, get some matches in and, you know, have the opportunity to win some titles. But
I think it's a good point you made, but also I think that's also because the grass season is so short. Like it's what, three, four weeks. Like it's the shortest.
I feel like French Open was like yesterday.
This is the thing, exactly. So that there's not a lot of time for players to kind of, I don't know, find their feet.
Like they're out here talking about a fifth slam. Cut out that fifth slam. Give us a little bit more time for grass. Like, no, definitely. And make it in London as well so people can see a little bit more of London. Saying that it's always raining and our food is this and blah, blah, blah.
See the London centric that is Lucy.
Hello. Proud Black Brit, okay?
But yeah, let's get into, should we go women first or men?
Yes, ladies first.
Let's go women first then. So yeah, we're doing this from a black spin perspective first, and then we'll kind of break down the draw overall. So we'll go number two seed, Coco Gauff. She opens against Diana Jastremska, which is going to be very interesting.
That's going to be very interesting.
She played Jastremska Madrid this year. Do you remember?
It was like
it was a free set tussle. Coco eventually came through. So her projected draw, and I don't like looking at projected draws, but it's kind of the thing to do, isn't it?
We have to, yeah.
So second round will most likely be Victoria Azarenka, which is crazy, who's unseeded. Azarenka's ranking right now, 105 in the world. Like, what the hell?
She's been playing for a minute. I think she's just, I'm going to keep it real, yeah. I feel like Azarenka is just playing so she can put food on the table for Leo. Like, I don't blame her. Like, there was a list of like players who have like the most money in terms of like prize money or like the fact that they just play in tennis, and Azarenka's like top five or something like that. Like,
oh yeah, she's had a great career. Yeah.
So for me, I think I'll be surprised if she's like, yeah, I'm trying to win a slam again. She's just doing it because she loves it, and also, you know,
fair
money to make. So
fair play. Third round, it's possibly, so she could potentially get Taylor Townsend, American qualifier. Shouts out to Townsend.
Or
Kenan, who's the 28th seed.
Mm-hmm.
Fourth round, it's looking like Daria Kasatkina or Ludmila Samsonova.
Mm-hmm.
Kasatkina's the 16th seed, Samsonova the 19th seed. And in the, was that the fourth finals. Round?
Quarterfinals,
yeah. It's looking like Iga Świątek, the 8th seed, or Alina Rybakina, the 11th seed.
And Rybakina has been, she's awake a little bit.
She's awake a little bit this grass
season.
In the semis, Jessica Pegula, the 3rd seed, or Mira Andreeva, the 7th seed. And then the final, we're looking at Irina Sabalenka or Jasmine Paolini. Would not be mad at that.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we thinking about Coco's draw?
I think Coco's draw, I think it's actually okay. I think this is a tough first round. I'm going to be real with you.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a tough first round.
I think she's gonna get through though. I don't think it's gonna be as like difficult as I say difficult. She's not gonna be as challenged as she was in Madrid. I think it's gonna be much more straightforward. Like, I don't see it being three sets.
I think like it's kind of difficult to know because she only played, like she lost the first round of Berlin. So it's kind of hard to kind of figure out where she's going to be at.
Okay.
Whereas when you have, you know, Yastremska.
Yeah.
She made it all the way to the, she was a Nottingham finalist. Eastbourne, she made it all the way to the quarterfinals. So she has a little, she has more matches under her belt. So yeah, and because it's grass as well, you know, so I feel like if she passed through that first round, she'll be fine. But I do think it's a tough first round to be, in my opinion anyways.
So, no, I think that's fair. That's fair.
Either way, we've got a slam. Cheers. We got a slam already, honey. It's okay.
Hi guys, this is just a quick break. If you are enjoying our show and our podcast, please make sure to leave a review and rate our show on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or any other DSPs. This will help us to reach a wider audience just like you and get a lot more listeners so we can keep on building our community and give you these great podcasts as well.
And if you're watching on YouTube, please make sure you subscribe.
And as you can see here, our beautiful merch. Make sure you go on Black Spin Global Podcast to cop our merch. This actually helps us fund this platform to keep on giving you these podcasts and most importantly, to attend to the tournaments. And now we'll head back to the show. Thank you again for listening and tuning in.
Jasmine Paolini, the fourth seed, last year's runner-up. So she starts against Anastasia Sevastova of Latvia, I'm going to say. Mm. Good. I want to say this is a decent draw for Jazzy.
Mm-hmm.
Sevastova is a good player, though. Paolini's projected route to the final. So in the second round, it's either going to be Katerina Rakhimova. Mm-hmm. Camilla Rakhimova. Mm-hmm. Third round, it gets tricky. So we're looking at potentially Linda Noskova, the 30th seed, the Czech, is quite talented. Fourth round, we're looking at either Amanda Anisimova, the 13th seed, or Beatriz Haddad-Maia, the Brazilian 23rd seed. Quarterfinals, it gets even more sticky.
Mm-hmm.
Zheng King Wen, the 5th seed, or Diana Schneider, the 12th seed from Russia.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the semis, we're looking at Arina Sabalenka, top seed, or Madison Keys, a 6th seed.
Or even Svitolina, you know?
Svitolina's in there too.
Last year, she made it to the semifinals, I believe?
Yes, that does ring a bell.
Yeah.
That does ring a bell. She went deep.
She did.
And then, like we said, again, it could be Coco in the final. Should they both get that far? Like that'd be a very, very exciting final for me.
Sorry, last year she made it to the quarterfinals. 2023, she made it to the semifinals.
Okay. This is Svitolina.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. No, she likes Wimbledon. She goes deep.
Mm-hmm.
So what are we making of Paolini's draw?
I think that's a tough draw, but
tough draw from where? As in what, from the start or?
Definitely not from the start. I feel like
third round,
I'll say from the quarterfinals.
Okay, so you think she'll get past?
I think she'll make it second week, but I feel like from the quarterfinals is gonna look a bit. It might be a bit thing unless, you know, Qin Wen Zheng or Schneider or. I mean, you never know. Ostapenko, you know, Ostapenko, sometimes when she can come out of nowhere and just do a madness. I feel like her first week run will be great. But I do want to ask you, like, do you think, considering that she was a finalist last year, how do you feel about Paolini, like, going into Wimbledon this year and stuff?
I've, again, I'm going by what I've seen so far of her, like, well, she's currently playing Bad Homburg.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like she's established herself now, like as a top player, and she feels comfortable, like in that space. Like she's four in the world. Like And now I feel like she believes she deserves to be there. Mm-hmm. And she's playing the kind of tennis that, yeah, I mean, she won in Rome, didn't she? Beat a lot of top players there. Like, she's had a good year, basically. And I feel like, yeah, at the slams, she's just going to continue to kind of bring it. And yes, there's going to be like more expectation coming to Wimbledon, being the runner up last year. But
yeah,
I feel like she basically has enough about her to kind of deal and cope with that. Mm. And like you, I feel like she's going to make second week. And I think when you're in the second week of a Grand Slam, like, for me, that's a massive achievement. And like, anything can happen during that second week. So I feel like for her, she should just basically aim to get to the second week, and then anything after that is a bonus. Like, and I feel like that's pretty much, that goes for like everybody, every player, really and truly. Mm-hmm. Maybe you're not the top two, because they probably are thinking, I want to win this thing.
Yeah.
But everybody beneath that is like, yeah, second week, and let's see where we are, like, come the end of this. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I feel good about Paolini's game.
Well,
in short.
Wish the best of luck to the Queen of Italy.
Madison Keys?
Queen of Ghana, whichever.
Our Italian Ghanaian sister. Let's go Keys next. So yes. Keys is the number six seed. Mm-hmm. So she starts against Emilia Gabriela Rus, or Alina Gabriela Rus of Romania. So I think that's a good draw for Keys.
Like, her entire draw in general for me is looking certain, can't lie.
Olga Danielovic in the second round projected. Third round, Leila Fernandez, the 29th seed. Fourth round, we're looking at either Badosa, the 9th seed, or Donna Vekic, the 22nd seed.
That would be a
tricky,
great match.
Tricky.
That would be a great match.
Quarterfinals, this is where it gets a bit crazy. So we've got Arina Sabalenka or Elina Svitolina, the 14th seed.
Or Von Drusova
is in there, yeah.
She's 20, in there.
22 or 23 champion.
Yeah, and she is, but 23. She's been playing well this grass season.
She won in Berlin. Was it Berlin she won?
Let me double check now. But yeah, she's been playing really well. Obviously, Czech player. Yeah, it was Berlin that she won. She won, and she's the one who even took out Sabalenka as well in straight sets.
Straight sets.
But yeah, so she we're going to keep an eye on her, you know, as she has kept an eye on us before.
Stop it. We ain't going. Listen, we're all friends. We're all friends here. At semi-finals, we're looking at Jasmine Paolini or Keng Wenzhen or Diana Schneider.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, the final, we're looking at potentially Coco Gauff. Gauff. Can you imagine a Gauff Keys final at Wimbledon?
It would be great. It would be great for American tennis for sure. And it would be a great way to celebrate the Arthur Ashe anniversary.
Oh, man.
But I'm looking forward to Keys this Wimbledon. I'm sorry, I have to say it now, but Keys is my pick, actually. So yeah,
you've gone early. I've even asked some predictions yet.
I'm saying it already.
Wow,
because when I watch her HSBC championships, in all honesty, it was just like her errors that was just putting her off. And she's really good on grass in general.
Yeah.
I think she would have played at Eastbourne if Eastbourne have not been downgraded as well. But yeah, she did have an early exit at Berlin against Vondrousova. But again, when it comes to slams, Keys is a different run. Everyone's in a different place as well.
Her best result at Wimbledon to date is a quarterfinal, or two quarterfinals, to be fair. She's made the quarterfinals twice.
And you need to keep in mind the last quarter final, it was a thing where she was just, it was the injury that took her out. I really think
that was the fourth round against Paolini.
Was in that quarterfinals?
It was fourth round.
Oh, okay, sorry.
Yeah.
But either way, last year, I do feel like she could have gone even further. We all saw it. It was literally just because of her injury.
Yeah,
and
it was
stuff,
tough. So, it was a tough watch.
But yeah, I think she just needs to continue with her serve. I think once she does that, she'll be good. She moves really well on grass. And yeah, I think she could do good.
No, I like that. I like that. Very confident pick there from Lucy. The other women in the draw. So you've got Alicia Parks. She's got a tough opener against Belinda Bencic. I think Parks, that could be, I think that's going to be a long match. I think that's going to be a three setter. And I wouldn't be surprised if Parks comes through, but that's a tough draw.
It really is. Yeah.
Very, very tough draw for Parks. But again, I wouldn't be surprised if she comes through that.
To be fair, though, Bencic has kind of been, she's been injured. She's not played, like, basically since Italian Open. She played bad Homburg, but she lost in, like, straight sets in the first round.
Yeah.
So if Bencic is not as healthy, Parks can win that. Parks should be able to win that. So I think if it was a Bencic that was on form like earlier this season,
yeah.
I think it would have been fine. But I think if she can take advantage of the fact that she's not 100%, if that's the case, she should do so.
Yeah, that's well said. Damia Sarker. So she has, I think she's Australian, Talia Gibson, who's a qualifier.
Yeah.
Good draw, I'm going to say, for Osaka.
Good draw. The first round, yes, but the second round, she could get either Siniakova or Qin Wenzheng.
It gets tough, exactly. But then again, I feel like Osaka too, the bigger the match, the better she plays. So,
which has been the case. The only problem has been her having to close those matches. So I really hope that she's in a better place, like mentally, for her to be doing that and stuff. But yeah, I think I hope she passes through like the first round. She played, what was the name of the tournament? She played Bad Homburg and Berlin as well. Berlin, she did lose to Samsonova in the first set. Then she took a wild card at Bad Homburg as well.
She did win a round. She won a match.
She won one round, yeah. And then she lost to Navarro in straight sets. But again, I didn't watch the match, but from what I was seeing from people's comment, it was a thing of like, you know, she had like a lot of errors. She wasn't really able to get some break points. So like, I think she had like one out of four break points.
Navarro is solid though, man.
And she's like, good on grass as well.
Yeah.
So yes, it's not actually. I think that's why I don't worry too much about Osaka, because the players that she's losing to are not like small players, and that's why like I was really gutted when she saw how sad and emotional she was when she lost to Badosa the first round at the French Open. You know, she was really emotional about it. And it's like, girl, you did not lose to a player who's ranked number 80 and who's a temp seed who is good on clay. Facing a Spaniard in general on clay is not fun. Okay, let's just put it out there. It doesn't matter if you're, you know, a lower ranked player, higher ranked player, but you know, she's losing against big top players. But it just shows to you that it's just a mental thing. So if she does face Qin Wenzheng, she just needs to just think of the Osaka that she was years ago, you know.
Remember who you are. I love saying that.
Remember who you are. Exactly. Remember who you are. You are a full-time Grand Slam champion, my girl.
Facts.
And no one can take that away from you.
Super facts.
So yeah, I think the flower, by the way, it's probably going to be it has to be a daisy, right?
The flower.
Remember every Grand Slam is that she has like a flower theme.
Oh, so okay.
Australian Open. And because the daisy is white, That's what I'm thinking.
Interesting. We'll see. I guess, yeah, we'll have to wait and see for that. Wrapping up the women. So Hayley Baptiste, she starts against Sarana Chestea, the Romanian. I'm going to say that's a good draw for Baptiste. I'm expecting her to come through that. And then we've got the British wildcard, Heather Watson. She's got a tough one against the 23rd seed, Clara Towson of Denmark. That's tough. But again, Watson might be inspired by the British crowd and, like, you know, they're going to get behind her. Like, that's going to be, that'll be on one of the show courts as well. Like, probably number two court, I'm guessing.
Yeah.
At least.
Yeah.
And then we've also got, we should shout out Taylor Townsend coming through qualifying. She starts against the 28th seed, Sophia Kennan, her compatriot from America.
Mm-hmm.
Tough one. That is a tough opening round for Townsend.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to say Kennan too. Like, that is, obviously Townsend's got 3 matches under her belt.
Yeah.
Coming through qualifying, she's going to be confident. But obviously Kennan is a, you know, she's a Grand Slam champion. Like,
yeah.
And she's playing well now too, to be seeded.
And I said it a couple pods ago, she's been doing good.
Yeah.
She did play Berlin where she lost the third round. Eastbourne, she did lose the first round, but she played, I think she played doubles as well for one of, so she has some matches under her belt and stuff. Taylor has been in London for a minute, in Europe even, she's been training and stuff. So having to play 3 rounds of qualifying is still something. So
exactly.
So that
wraps up the women from a black spin perspective. Just in general, like, anything stand out for you in terms of the draw?
I'm not gonna lie, Sabalenka's draw is looking stat.
Really?
Yeah, man, is looking serious for her. But you know, she's got some matches under her belt too. She made, like I said earlier, she made all the semifinals in Berlin. But yeah, she could have. I mean, her first round is Brandstein. That's fine.
Shouts out to Carson quoting our guy Tamani.
Yeah. Second round, she could have Lulu Sun or Buskova. Third round, she could have Vondrousova, who knocked her out at Berlin, or Kessler. Fourth round,
good right now as well.
Yeah, fourth round, she could have Mertens or Svitolina. I would love a Svitolina and Sabalenka match for sure. quarterfinals, you could have Keys or Badosa or Vekic. Semi-finals, Paolini, Kinwenjek or Schneider, or even Amanda or Ossipek. Listen, it's looking stacked on her right now.
We'll see.
I'm curious to see how the British crowd will treat Sabalenka. Do you think they're going to be tough on her because of the Coco situation? Because the Brits love Coco.
I don't think they'll be that bothered.
They love Coco. They love Coco here. So I don't know if they're going to be, you know.
I think that's going to be more a New York thing she's to worry about. More. I don't think she's to worry when she's in London, but definitely New York, maybe.
Oh, if I was in New York, I'll get extra security. And I'll even ask, can I do no on-court interviews? because they will boo her for real. But yeah, we'll see anyways.
Just thinking from, non-Blackspin perspective, I do find Raducanu starting against Mimi Zhu, fellow Brit, in the opening round. That's going to be quite interesting. Because, Zhu's like one of like the up-and-coming teenagers in British tennis. And there's going to be a lot of eyes on that match. Obviously, Raducanu as well. So British number one versus one of the up and comers.
Yeah.
Apart from that, nothing else really stands out to me.
There's also Putintseva and Anisimova. First round.
Oh, is that first round?
Yeah.
Okay. I think Anisimova will come through that quite comfortably.
Mm-hmm.
Putintseva, did you see the drama of her and Sakkari?
Yeah, I saw that. I did see that, and to be honest, I'm not too like too surprised, to be honest with you.
It is what it is, isn't it?
Like, yeah, it is what it is. And Putin server, to be fair, her attitude had been a bit questionable lately.
No comment. Let's move on to the men. Let's start Blackspin perspective. Ben 10, temp seed Ben Shelton.
Yes.
He starts against the qualifier Alex Bolt of Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Shelton did lose his opening match in Mallorca, where he was the top seed.
And HSBC Championships as well.
Yeah, so he's yet to win a match then on grass this year, if that's the case.
No, he made it to...
What am I talking about exactly? He made it to the semis in Germany. Was it Munich?
Boss Open. Mm-hmm.
He lost
to the champion, Zverev.
So yeah, last two events haven't been great, but he has got wins on grass this year.
Sorry, he lost to the champion. Sorry, Fritz actually won that. Sorry, because I remember Zverev's speech saying, "Yeah, we need to stop playing against each other because he's always beating him."
Zverev was the top seed.
Yeah,
I think that's why we're getting confused.
Yeah,
Shelton's draw. Wimbledon. I like it.
I like it too. Because I feel like we need to remember with Shelton last year, a lot of his matches were like very like tight and long as well.
Five setters.
And because of the rain delays as well, it was quite tough. So I feel like fatigue is what took out of him and not made him go even further. Although he made all the way to the fourth round, so it was still something.
Second week, yeah.
So I'm hoping that although he had his early exits, he's well rested and ready to go. I do think he's slightly injured though.
Interesting.
I think there's something with his knee.
He was wearing like a tape around the knee. Yeah, in New York.
I noticed it during the HSBC Championship. And to be fair, it didn't look like his knee. It looked like it was like his ankle.
Okay.
And I was like, oh, is this guy injured? Or is there something just bothering him?
Interesting. Keep an eye on that then.
So there might be something like that. But I hope it's not the case anyways, because I would love to see Shelton make it far for sure.
Just looking at his projected draw. So he could have Hijikata, another Australian in the second round, or David Goffin. Third round could be Hugo Humbert, the 18th seed,
mm-hmm.
or Gael Monfils, to be fair. Mm-hmm. For fourth round, it gets tricky. So Lorenzo Musetti, the 7th seed, or Brandon Nakashima, the 29th seed.
Mm-hmm.
Nakashima, who he lost to Queens.
Yeah.
Quarterfinals, top seed Jannik Sinner, or compatriot Tommy Paul, the 13th seed. And then semi-finals, looking at Jack Draper, the 4th seed, Novak Djokovic, the 6th seed. That's... for me, when you reach the 4th round, it's like, again, like we said with Paolini, like anything can happen there, basically.
Anything can happen.
I'm expecting Shelton to reach second week, definitely. I think that would be a good achievement.
Sure.
But again, I think he does have kind of sights on doing well, like on grass.
Mm-hmm.
And he's got the game to do that. We've said that so many times before. Like, mm-hmm. so yeah, good luck to Ben. Being the temp C, like that's huge. And I love seeing that. Mm-hmm. Number 10 looks good next to him. Our next seeded player, Mr. Big Foe.
So his first round is against Elmer Muller.
I think he's a Danish qualifier. Good draw.
He's a Danish guy, yeah. So that should be fine. Second round, he could have Batista Agu or Nori. Yeah, and third round, he could have Bellucci, which will be interesting, or Lehechka, who made it really far at HSBC Championships. I believe he made it to the semi-finals.
Finals.
He's the one who knocked out Diallo, to be fair. Mm. I remember HSBC Championships as well. He was playing really good. So that will be a tough one if he makes it that far. Fourth round, Rune or Griggs Paul. Or yeah, maybe Francesca.
Fonseca.
Yeah. Quarterfinals. We could have again. And I think I said it to you before that I wanted this match. So we could have a projected quarterfinals, Alcaraz, which I would love.
Damn.
Personally, because win or lose, I just love tennis. I'm here for some
food. Nisha's just a fan of the game, man.
That's just it. I'm just a fan of the game. And I know it will be a fire, you know, four set or five set a match. For sure.
Well, he was the only player to take him to five last year.
Yeah, exactly. Or we could get Rublev or Tsitsipas or Felix. And in semi-finals as Zverev or Fritz. Or maybe even Medvedev. I think he just won a title in grass. No, he was in five. Sorry, it was Bublik who won, and he was a finalist. So, you know, he's played quite a few grass tournaments. So he's on form too. So we'll see how that goes. But yeah, how are you feeling about Big Fo's draw?
Yeah,
I think it's really good.
Again, I like it. I like it a lot. Lehechka is going to be tough third round. Because like you said, Lehechka's a finalist at Queens. He's got a good grass court game. But I think Tiafoe has enough about him to beat Lehechka. Fourth round, it gets very tricky. Obviously, Rune's eighth seed.
Mm-hmm.
You'd expect him to reach the fourth round as well, because he's been playing pretty well.
Yeah.
Although Greeks Ball was also a good player, 31st seed. So, but then, that quarterfinal, I'd love that. That would be just box office. Like, Carlos Alcaraz, Francis Tiafoe.
I need a repeat center court. Exactly. I need that repeat from last Wimbledon.
So let's hope we get that.
That was a very good match.
Next player we're looking at, Felix Auger-Aliassime, the 25th seed.
Mm-hmm.
So he starts against the Australian James Duckworth. Good draw, I'm going to say, for Felix. And I think again his draw is looking okay. Does get tricky though third round. But yeah, second round it's Jan Edestruf or Filip Mihailović of Austria.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, the third round, Carlos Alcaraz. why I like Felix though is because what I've seen from him in Mallorca, like the form is starting to pick up again, basically. Mm-hmm. And I feel like, I've always thought that his game on grass, like, matches up quite well.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say he reached his best result at Wimbledon. I'm just checking this now as we...
I believe it was
quarter final. So he's gone deep before.
Yeah.
And that was back in 2021.
Mm-hmm.
So he has lost though first round, like the last three times he's played since then. But like I said, Mallorca for me, the form is starting to pick up again. And I feel like hopefully there's like a kind of, I don't know, a change in terms of fortune for him and like his season. And yeah, let's hope that that's Wimbledon. For Felix Auger-Aliassime. Any comments on Felix?
No, like honestly, no real pressure. I feel like this season he's been trying to like get back into it. So yeah, just hopefully we just go deep and that's it. I mean that third round is looking definitely tough. Not easy to face a two-time defending champion, but yeah, so yeah, man.
Let's go. Steve French, actually. So we've got Giovanni Pecci-Pericard. Tough opener. So he's got the fifth seed, Taylor Fritz. And don't forget, Petr Pericard last year was his debut.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in as a lucky loser, reached the fourth round.
Mm-hmm.
And that's been his best performance at a Grand Slam today. So Wimbledon's a special place for Giovanni.
Mm-hmm.
But that is a tough draw to get Taylor Fritz first round.
Yeah.
But again, for Taylor Fritz too, that is not going to be easy for him. He's probably thinking like, why on earth did I draw Giovanni like first round? Like, what the hell?
But the thing is, Giovanni had like kind of like a rocky season, to be fair. I mean, he still won a challenger title during clay season right before French. But I think people are slowly catching up to being able to return to his serves. Unless he goes back to serving really big again, like he did last year. Last year, him and Shelton were like the top, like fastest serve speeds and so on. So if he does that and continue to move, because I know like, okay, yeah, he gets a serve bot, you know, tight and stuff. But I think on grass, he moves pretty well. And to be honest, when it comes to grass, listen, if you're a serve bot,
all day,
so be it.
All day.
You know, everyone is trying to you know, serve well. And when you think about all of the top Wimbledon champions, their serves are amazing.
Yeah, 100%.
But Giovanni does move well on grass regardless. He goes towards the net often. Especially from like last year. So I'm just hoping that he doesn't think too much. Do you think the pressure has gotten to him?
Not at all. I think like you make a good point as well about like the players kind of getting a good read like on his serve, which is true. But I also mm-hmm. feel like this is also his first full year like on the tour properly. Last year he was playing a lot of challenges and like ACP events, whereas this year it's just been mainly ATP tour. He did win the challenger, like you said.
That's
so,
true.
But this has been his first proper year on the tour, like as a pro. So, I'm not at all like worried or thinking, oh, like where are the wins or like he's had some weird results. Like for me, this is normal.
I feel like that.
Like you said again, on grass, his game is perfect for grass court tennis. But yeah, to go back to the serving quickly, like serving is about rhythm, and I feel like when you have good rhythm on serve, that's going to kind of like translate and kind of carry you through a lot of matches. So I feel like if Giovanni finds himself in a place where he's serving well, like for one match, that's going to translate hopefully to the second and third and fourth. Like it will just kind of keep going and kind of carrying him through.
Sure.
And hopefully that's the case. But yeah, Taylor Fritz first round, that's going to be tough because Fritz is also a very good returner. So this is going to be a very, very exciting matchup. And I'm looking forward to seeing like how it kind of plays out. But I would not be surprised again if Pericard comes through.
And Fritz won a title, so.
He did win, in Munich.
Yeah.
And Stuttgart, the Boss Open, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and last year he made it to the quarterfinals. He made it to the quarterfinals twice. It was only 2023 where, you know. But Grand Slams, Fritz Grand Slams this year, he's not made it past the second week. So AO, he lost the third round. RG lost first round. Clay, to be fair, is not really his best. But Wimbledon, we'll see. But yeah.
I want to say he's a former junior Wimbledon champion as well, Fritz.
So we shall see how we go.
The others in the, from a Blackspin anyway, Blackspin perspective. So Gabriel Diallo, shouts out to Diallo, Setoggenbosch champion. My dark horse for Wimbledon this year. So he starts against Daniel Altmaier, the German. I want to say that's a good opening round for Diallo. He also won a few rounds in Mallorca too. This week.
He lost to Griegspoor in the quarterfinals. But he's coming into Wimbledon with a title. So,
exactly.
You know, Liberma Open, HSBC Championship was the only one where it was a bit tricky where he lost to a finalist. So, you know, that was fine. And Marioka, he made it to the quarterfinals. So he's going into grass season with some matches in him and stuff. So I'm not too scared of the first round, to be fair.
Yeah.
But it does get tricky from the second round, where he could get Fritz or GMP.
I'd love that. I'd love a shadow GMP second round. Fingers crossed. Yeah. Gael Monfils. So he's got another tough opener again. So he's got another Frenchman, 18th seed Hugo Humbert. And again, for Humbert, that's not easy. Being an 18th seed, you're playing.
The thing is with Monfils, yeah, when he comes in, you don't know what vibe's going to be on. You don't 100%. Know if he's going to be on the vibe of, you know what, I'm here and it is what it is. Or you don't know if he's going to be on the vibe of, you know what, F you kids. I'm here to show you that.
I'm still about.
So you really don't know, especially that he's like so open-minded lately.
Yeah.
Where he's like, I'm just playing for free. Did you see his video where he was about the bettors?
No. Oh, yeah. To be fair, we should have posted that actually.
No, honestly.
Yeah.
Like, he basically was getting a lot of messages from like bettors insulting him because he was losing. And he was like, guys, grass, you know that I'm shit.
Why are you betting on grass?
Why are you betting on me? You know? And I just love how he took something that, you know, it's not easy for these players where
that's a serious issue. Like,
it's a serious issue where, you know, players today are still showing screenshots of, you know, the messages that they get from bettors and, you know, whatever. And with Monfils also being black, you know, they bring in the race thing where
he mentioned that.
He was like, you don't need to bring up my race about it. Like, yeah, you know, is it, you know, my wife finds me beautiful, so it's fine. But I just love how he changed that into like a joke type of thing and laughed it off. But most importantly, it just really shows to you where he's at mentally. Obviously, I feel like it's easier for him to do that compared to the other players because he's done it. You know, he's won his titles. Like right now, he said it himself. He's like, I'm not even here to like be trying to win a slam. You know, I'm living life. I've got a purpose now. So it's nice.
Yeah.
It's nice that he did that. And I hope the players who deal with it emotionally and is really affecting them can see, this is how you can also take it in.
100%. Because
everyone always talks about these bettors and stuff coming in and messaging them and stuff, but I don't think there's a solution to it. And I feel like the only solution is how you actually take it in. And it's very easy to say, ignore them. Extremely easy. You know, we're not the same as players, but we definitely get the insults because of the fact that we actually, you know, focus on black players, you know. So yeah, I really hope some players saw that and like, you know what, is not that deep and these people are silly and so on. So yeah, shout out to Monfils for that. That was so funny. That was like literally the funniest thing
ever. So
yeah, we'll see how him and Hugo goes.
Continuing on, so we've got also Christopher Eubanks, friend of the pod. He has Jasper de Jong of the Netherlands in the first round.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, Christopher Eubanks is the former quarter finalist at Wimbledon. So
yes, not a BBC commentator.
Okay. No comment.
Not a BBC commentator.
I'm glad we can get that cleared up.
Yeah, he is in the draw and playing tennis. Exactly.
So yeah, we wish Eubanks all the best. Mm-hmm. Obviously, again, his game matches up well on the grass. He's shown that back in 2023 now that was, or 24? Get my years mixed up.
23.
And yeah, we also have two British wildcards to look out for. So we've got Jay Clark takes on fellow British wildcard Dan Evans, which is going to be absolutely, I can't wait for that. And Dan Evans.
Really? Why are you excited about that?
I like the fact that it's like two Brits in the first round. And I also
fair enough.
I also feel like with Evans is playing good tennis at the moment. But I also feel like Clark, he's also like high on confidence.
Trying to get back. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So
he's been killing it in the ITF. So now he's like,
this is the thing. Won a challenger recently as well, though that wasn't on grass, but still. Mm-hmm. I just feel like, yeah, there's going to be a lot of eyes on that match. I'm definitely going to be paying a lot of, close attention to it. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I do, because Evans took out, he's taken out TFO recently. He also took out, who did he take out again? He took out somebody else, Tommy Paul as well. Mm-hmm. So like two top Americans. Mm-hmm. Like taking them out.
I mean,
back,
you know,
back.
The Brits, they like to show up when it's grass. You know,
this is the thing, exactly. So it's like, it's winner takes.
Whoever Watson made it all the way to like what, the quarterfinals in one of the tournaments this grass season. So yeah, man,
it's winner takes all. So I'm looking forward to that. And our second British wildcard, George Lofhagen, he starts against Pedro Martinez of Spain. And again, that is also a good. I want to say that's a good draw for Lofhagen. Obviously, mm-hmm. Martinez being Spanish, grass probably isn't his favorite surface. Lofhagen too. He nearly beat Riley Opelka.
Opelka, yeah.
That went to three sets. Like,
went to three sets, and both of the sets that he lost, it actually went into tie breaks.
Yeah. So again, playing good tennis, man, on grass.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing to lose, obviously being a wild card. So
yeah,
good luck. And I'm looking forward to seeing both Lofhagen and Clark in action, because again, we don't get to see them that often, like on the main tour. So
for sure,
yeah, very very excited to see how they kind of get on at Wimbledon. Before we wrap, anything else in the main men's draw that stands out to you?
Let me double check quickly. Should we? Sinner's thing is looking easy for me. I'm not gonna lie. I think
I like the fact that he starts against an Italian too, Luca Nardi. Luca Nardi's a good player.
Yeah, you said that.
That's gonna be one for the Italians to get excited about.
And I'm gonna say something, but we're not gonna discuss it. But I'm just gonna say it, because if I say anything more, I will be in trouble. But I just want to announce to people. They'll probably notice by the time they listen to this. That his physio and sports trainer have left his team, and I will leave it right there.
Strange timing. Very, very strange timing.
What is going on in the House of Commons?
Not the doctor in my eye, damn. The doctor in my eye, that's crazy.
Oh, gosh. Carlos Alcaraz. Two times, I think that this is a fun first round. He is playing against the Italian Fabio,
who's retiring this year. It's his final year.
Oh, yeah,
tour.
That's true. Yeah, yeah. But yeah, shout out to him. You know, we have to give a shout out to our boy Draper. Come on,
Jack.
You know, you didn't make it to the final. As I had plans for you for HSBC Championship. It's all right, we need to rest a little bit. You know, the big. Do you think Draper feels a bit pressure?
No, you honestly. And again, shouts out to Tamani. I read something. Well, this week, Tamani interviewed him, and he said basically, like, he's looking to make Centre Court his home. I was like, talk your shit. I love that.
Yeah.
Like, because he's the British number one. So he's thriving off that pressure, and he wants to live up to it. So when you're speaking like that, you're about it. And I feel like Jack is definitely about it.
I do find it interesting that some of like the tennis fans are a bit strict on him. They're just like, oh, what's special about like Draper and stuff? And I'm just like, that's crazy. Like, they make it seem like he's just like a sneaking.
He's not in the top.
And this is my issue
when you reach top five, you're not a sneak.
And this is my issue with tennis fans. I feel like because there's so many players, and obviously we can't focus on everyone. So just because you've been sleeping on a player and then they make it to the top, don't be like they just sneaked in like it's nothing.
I really
hate that, because it takes out the hard work of that player. Jack Draper was the only player, to me, in my opinion, Jack Draper is the only player that took advantage of, like, Sinner's absence. He's like, all right, you're gone, I'm going to do X, Y, Z.
That's a great point.
My honest opinion, in all honesty. I thought all of these ATP top players were going to do a madness. Nope, snoozing. Respectfectly. But
Jay Park, look at him now. Career high.
He won his 1,000 title. He made it to the finals on clay. He's been playing really well. And his matches are actually really good. Got a powerful forehand. Like, Draper, listen, if BSG don't bring it home, man. I need me a bank holiday. I need me to be outside shouting with the Brits. It's coming home and it's tennis coming home. Drinking pims together. We go to the pub all together. And you know when the Brits are happy, you don't have to worry too much about being in the pub as a black person. We're all friends. We're all getting along. So yeah, Draper, do your big thing here. Come on. If BSG, we can't bring it home, Brits. Bring it home to us.
Well, Draper. You've given me your pick for the women.
So my pick for the women is Keys. My pick for the men is... I said Sinner.
Yannick, okay.
Yannick Sinner. I think so. His draw... I said Sinner even before the draw. Now seeing the draw, Sinner. I think we're definitely going to get an Alcaraz... Sinner final. Again, I think so. Yep. But it is Arthur Ashe 50th anniversary.
I was going to say, we kind of need to
like. And that's what I'm saying. And look how tough they made the draw for the black men players.
For me, how
convenient is that? When we're out here trying to celebrate Arthur Ashe, and you guys want to block that away. Come on. These draws.
For me on the women's side, you know who I'm going for. I'm gonna say she's gonna go back to back.
Are you saying back to back?
I am, you know. I'm saying she's going back to back, Lucy. For some that might be too early. But I just
I think it is because this is how I feel. I feel like with Coco, for example, she even said it herself. She came into the thing season, like French Open. So I think right now she's kind of like relaxed.
Chilled. I get that as well.
I could be wrong. She could be using that as a way to... Maybe it will motivate her to go.
Tennis is a momentum game. She's got some good momentum right now. So let's carry on that momentum.
Let's see.
The men, it's always tricky for me for the men. Like,
come on. 3, 2, 1.
I'm frozen. Yeah. Froze.
Come on, Eugene. Give me something.
I want to say Carlos, but then it kind of goes against everything I've been saying about Felix.
Are you trying to tell me Felix is going to win Wimbledon?
I can see Felix going deep at Wimbledon, Lucy.
I'm saying pick a winner, please.
Okay, for my man, I'm going Novak. I've said it. He's going to get to 25.
Okay. 25. Okay, we'll see. Well, guys. Enjoy Wimbledon. Remember to stay tuned on our socials. We'll be on site. Stay tuned to our pod. Instagram and Twitter. And I have not been posting on TikTok. I've had no time, child. So I'm going to try, okay? Hope you guys enjoy Wimbledon. And we shall chat to you guys very soon.
Take care, guys. Thanks for tapping in.